Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 2 this morning. And it is a real joy to see you in the house of the Lord. And I'm glad we already felt the presence of the Lord speaking to our hearts in the music. And what a blessing that is. It's good to be in the Lord's house when the Lord's at home. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. And I want to say about this year that we're finishing up, we want to thank the Lord for His goodness and His mercy and His blessings upon us. Amen. We don't want to fail to thank Him for His faithfulness and for His provisions and for His protection. And just a note, just for a second, while they're getting everything sound-wise going, we realize that parted ways with some wonderful loved ones at Philadelphia Baptist Church this year. Amen. And then the Lord has blessed us with adding some people to our church this year. Amen. And then God's added to the family of God and added to our church. People got saved, and we thank the Lord for that. Amen. And so it's just a blessing. It was a blessing to have Brother Stockton, them, Brother Brent and them to join last Sunday. What a blessing that was. And so it's just to join with the church family. And we'd love to see the church. We want to pray that God would save souls and add to the church as He sees fit. In 2018, it'd be His job. You said, "Preacher, what about the church? We'd like to see the number go up." Boy, there's nobody in this building that'd like to see the number go up no more better than I. I pray for it every day. Every day I pray God to add to the church. God takes away and God adds and God does things in His timetable. And I sure don't, Brother McGowan, I sure don't understand that. Amen. I don't understand that at all. I've got a plan and a purpose for this and that. But I tell you what, God's got a greater plan. And God's got a greater purpose. And so it's just a blessing to be, just to trust Him and see. But it's been wonderful to see people grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've had some men this year, I felt like it grew. We have some ladies also, but we've had some men, I think, have grew in the Lord this year. And as a pastor, that's one of the greatest things, seeing people grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, but it's not my, I can't make anybody come to the church. I can't add to the church anything. Amen. And so that's all in God's hands. So I try my best not to worry about that. Try my best not to do that. I just try to be the best person I can be the best dad I can be the best husband I can be the best pastor I can be. And that's all I can do. And so the Lord has to add to the church. But I want to thank Him publicly. And then I want to thank the church publicly for your blessing towards our family and also for the blessings of following the man of God. Amen. Thank you so much for following the leadership that God gave us, and I thank you so much for that. And I trust we'll continue to do the same thing in 2018. And boy, we've had great unity and great harmony in 2017. I thank the Lord for that. I tell you what, it's kind of like in the Bible talks about, about being in a house with a contentious woman. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, it's rough to pastor church when harmony's not there. Amen. It's just kind of like husbands living with your wife when everything just ain't right. Well, y'all get that later. Some of y'all husbands, y'all said, "Well, you crow." I know y'all crow on the end of the bed every night. Amen. But the wife runs a house. We know she is. Amen. You said, "What are you?" I run everything around the house. The vacuum cleaner. No, I'm just joking. Amen. The washing machine. Amen. The dryer. Amen. The dishwasher. Amen. The hair dryer. I'm just joking. Amen. I have to have a little bit of fun. All right. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I hope you're glad you're here. I really do. I sense that you're glad you're here, but I want the Lord to speak to our hearts. It's good when you got messages you're excited about preaching, but I mean, they're good messages. I mean, they're good, something good to talk about. When you have to talk about sin, talk about all y'all's wickedness, it's hard on me, amen. But I'm glad the Lord hadn't called us to do that today. All right, Ephesians chapter number 2. Look at the book of Ephesians. It's a great book. We've looked at it before and preached through the book. Chapter 1, we see redemption. Isn't it wonderful to be redeemed? Amen. And then chapter 2, being reconciled back to God. And then chapter number 3, we see the revelation that was given unto Paul about the church. And then chapter number 4 about responsibilities. And then we see chapter number 5 about reflection. In chapter number 5, it talks about us being reflections of Him. Be therefore followers. That means an imitator of God. We're to follow Him. And so we're to reflect Him. Amen. And in the midst of that, in chapter number 5, it talks about us being filled with the Spirit of God. So this church will never do anything for God until it gets members that are filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And you say, and the Bible says we're going to have to walk in the Spirit, to keep us to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we're going to have to walk in the Spirit. And without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please God. And so without us being filled with the Spirit of God, this church will never be what it needs to be. So the pastor can be filled with the Spirit of God and do the best he can do, but that still won't help the church. I mean, it helps the church, but it still won't. The church is made up of individuals. And you make this church. You build this church. You're the reason this church goes or don't go. It's through your giving. It's through your presence. You have the power to do that. Amen. And what God's working. And so we really need to realize that we need the Spirit of God to work in our life. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Filled with His Spirit. And then, of course, then we go to chapter number 6 and we see the real warfare. The real warfare that is it. But I want to look at chapter number 2. And I'm not going to preach on being reconciled to God. But I want to preach on His mercies. I want to preach on the richness of His mercy. I'm glad we serve a merciful God. Amen. And so let's look at chapter number 2 and verse number 1. As you look at this chapter, you're going to see in chapter 1 through verses 1 through 3, you're going to see our spiritual deadness. How we're dead and was dead in trespass sin. That's the first thing He says, and you have the quickened. Now He's talking to saved people. If you're not saved this morning, you've never been quickened. He said, and ye have the quickened who was dead in trespasses and sin. Where in time past, He's talking about our past there. Ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversations. Again, in time past. I guess I could stop right here and just ask you this question. Do you have a past? Do you have a spiritual path? A path that you was lost and now you're walking with the Lord. Amen? And so then He said this, and among whom also you have all your conversation time past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But here it is, verse number 4, but God. Hey, I'm glad when God butts in. Amen? But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. You know, I'm thankful that we have an active God. An active God. Do you realize that people are worshiping idols this morning, their God is inactive. Their God cannot do anything. But you and I worship an active God. And then if we go to verse number 15, we see we worship a God that is an abolishing God. Look at verse number 15. For it says, having abolished in His flesh the enemy, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in Himself a twain, one new man, so making peace. That means, to simplify that, He's talking about the church. He's talking about taking the Jews and Gentiles and making them one and being part of the body of Christ. And He has abolished the law. I mean, He came and fulfilled the law. He came and paid. Jesus Christ came and He was our payment, our sin debt. God made Him to be sin, who knew no sin. We might have the righteousness of God in Him. And so He became sin for you and I and paid the sin debt and broke down that wall of partition between us and God. Amen. Amen. And that partition between Jews and Gentiles. And He's made us all one. He's abolishing God. But then verse number 18, I'm glad He's an accessible God. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit into the Father. I'm glad you and I can have access to God. He's made a way that you and I can have access to Him. We can know Him. We can come into His presence. We can be saved by the marvelous grace of God. We can fellowship with Him. We can commune with Him. We can talk with Him. Thank God for that. And it's all because of this, because of the mercies of God. It's all because He was merciful. So you didn't need justice this morning. You needed mercy. I didn't need justice. I needed mercy. And I still need mercy as a saved person, but as a sinner, I needed mercy. Amen. Look with me, verse number 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Look at verse number 8. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. That walk there is our present life. We've had a past life, but now you and I have a present life, and we're to walk with him. And it's all because of the mercies of God. We serve a merciful God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us as we try to preach on the richness of your mercy. God, I pray, Father, you would anoint us and fill us. And God, I pray that you'll use us this morning in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. When we look at this thought, we have this thought of the riches of God's mercy. It says in verse number 4, who is rich in mercy. I'm glad our God is rich. And I wonder about this. I wonder just how rich our God is in mercy. I don't know if we could ever find out that, but I believe our God is rich in mercy. Psalms said this in Psalms 145:9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. His mercies extended to all that call upon him. The Bible says in Psalms 100 and verse number 5, it says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to what? All generations. So it's simply as long as people lives upon this earth, guess what? They're going to be mercy. As long as men and women upon this earth, they're going to be mercy. To a preacher, what about the tribulation period? Guess what? There'll be great mercy. Do you realize there are going to be multitudes, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people saved during the tribulation period? Amen. Oh, yeah. Now, I personally believe those that heard the gospel will believe alive and be blind and be deaf to that calling. But yet, I believe that during that time, there will be many people that will be saved during that time, during the tribulation. But we realize, and so I'm telling you, as long as man is upon this earth, as long as breath is in man's nostrils, and long as man walks upon the face of God's green earth, guess what? God's mercy is to every generation. That should excite you and I. Because, you know, we're talking about, you know, we're rejoicing over the fact that some people in our church are expecting and are going to have children. But I tell you what, there's another side of that. When we think about what was those children face. Amen. You know, we're excited about Colton, our grandbaby. But, you know, I wonder, I sit sometimes and I wonder, what in the world will he see? What in the world? Brother Nix, I mean, just think about all the things that you've seen in your life. And the change you see. Can you imagine? I can't imagine this. But how many of y'all rode in a wagon? Brother Nix, okay, there's Brother Nix. Rode in a wagon before. Now, I'm not talking about just riding, but I mean, you know, and transportation at the beginning of the 1900s was wagons. I know we're getting into the cars a little bit late, but can you see how far we went? Can you imagine how far, if the Lord allows things to go on, how far we may go on? You know, you and I used to watch those science fiction movies or even cartoons and stuff, you know, and we thought, man, they had a telephone. They was talking about that's the craziest thing. You'll never have a telephone, no wire hang on to it, amen? Well, so that's what we thought, but the people before us couldn't even believe here that you had a telephone with a wire. How many had party lines when you were growing up? I mean, we had party. How many listened? No, I'm just joking. But you had party lines. People, party lines? What? I mean, you had one phone, you had certain rings for each house, and you picked it up on your ring, and you pick it up, somebody be talking, and you needed to use the phone, you couldn't use it. I mean, you couldn't just pick up a phone and call your girlfriend anytime you want to. Somebody say amen. But hey, what I'm trying to say, but you know, they couldn't imagine talking over a wire. We couldn't imagine talking. But now you walk into stores, and you hear people talking. Oh, hi, how are you? I wasn't talking to you. I was talking on my phone. Right? Amen. That's exactly. You don't know if they're talking to you or talking to somebody 400,000 miles away. You don't know. Amen. Wonder what they'll see. I don't know what they'll see. I don't know what they'll experience. I don't know what they'll have to go through. But I do know this, Brother Davenport, Brother Bo, number two, I do know this. The mercies of God will be there with them. Amen. Brother Sheriff, the mercies of God will be there with those grandchildren and their grandchildren and their grandchildren. As long, I'm telling you, it should be exciting to you and I that the mercies of God is to all generations. Amen. To all generations. The mercies of God will still be there. Yeah. Amen. The mercies of God will still be. And I don't know what 2018 will hold, but I guarantee you this, you and I can still trust in His mercy. We can still trust in His word. We can still trust in His way. We can trust in our God. Why? Because He is a merciful, loving, kind, gracious, tender-hearted God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I can't help you no more than that. That's the best preaching I got. I'm trying to tell you the mercies of God. The Bible says they're everlasting. They endure to all generations. His mercy will always be here. The Bible says it's everlasting. It'll always be here. The God, He's the God, the Bible says, of all mercy. All mercy. Now, if we won't take our Bibles, but if we turn to Psalms 136, 26 times in that passage of Scriptures, each verse says, "For His mercy endureth forever." One man said this, he said, and you hear this prayer, boy, God said that in the Bible in that minute. Well, God said it 26 times in that one chapter. I think He meant it, don't you? Hey, but God says it one time, He means it. He means it. But He repeats it time and time again about the mercies of God for you and I. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow. In that great Psalms 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Oh, ain't that good to know that mercy, goodness and mercy is following us. Just look behind you. Goodness and mercy is there. Oh, the goodness and mercies of God is there forever. When we think of the mercy of God, when we realize the mercies of God, a holy God could look down on sinful man and have mercy on him. It's really a miraculous thing. Lamentation says it like this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because His compassion faileth not. Amen? Because He has a lot of things He can see because we need a lot of mercy. I just wonder, in 2017, was you all that you think God wanted you to be? I don't think I was, but thank God for His mercy. I'm glad the Bible said He remembers we're but dust and has mercy upon you and I. Amen. But Lamentations 3 said that He ended with this. He said, "Our compassion fell off. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." God's been faithful to us. He said that they're renewed. His mercy are renewed every morning. Now, Jack Howell said this. He said, "I don't know why God chose to say every morning, but he said, I know this." He said, "One day, I pastored down in Texas for 18, 19 years. He pastored a church down there, had one of the fastest growing church in Texas. And so he went to another church, probably at Hammond, Indiana, and he had came back to preach a meeting near that church where he pastored. And he rode by the house of one of the deacons. Now, not all deacons. We got one deacon here. We got one traveling today. He's gone on a vacation. But not all deacons are bad. We got two and not both of them are bad. I'm just joking. But he said he had a deacon. He said John R. Rice called it the horny-headed deacon. Amen. And so, but he said he had one deacon. He said he drove by that deacon's house. And that deacon had gave him a lot of trouble and a lot of problems there in the church while he was there those days. And he said, he said honestly in his own heart, Brother Doc, he said, honestly, in his own heart, he said, I had not had any ill feelings towards that man whatsoever. He said, I'd forgave that man. But he said, that night, he dreamed that he met that man and he hit him in the nose. And he said, you know what? I was happy about it. And he said, I woke up happy about it. He said, that's the only reason I'd say the Lord says it's new every morning. He said, we need mercy even when we sleep. Amen. We need mercy even when we sleep. How true it is. Every morning, whether it be morning or night, you and I do need mercy, whether it be in our actions or whether it be in our thoughts. I'm glad we serve a God that's faithful and He renews those mercies for you and I every day. Every day they're renewed for you and I. Amen. Well, when you and I, when we give mercy to others, you know what you and I do? We imitate God. We're like God when we give mercy to other people. One man said this, he said, mercy imitates God and disappoints Satan. How true that is. Well, I'm going to get to my preaching. The psalmist said in Psalms 23, he said that goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life, and we need it. When you think about people like us, people that God would give us mercy, people that lives like us, people that thinks like us, people that acts like us. Y'all getting that? I mean, God forgives us, God gives us mercy, and God gives us grace. Amen. Well, I want to get to this point. I just got 2 points. His mercy is unsearchable. The riches of His mercy is unsearchable. There are those that would say this morning, well, God, I believe God's mercy. The man would say this. I believe God's mercy stops when man willfully sins against God. I believe there's no mercy for man when man willfully. You know what? That sounds pretty good, don't it? Humanly speaking, I can understand that statement that God's mercy is not for us when you and I willfully disobey God. Well, I have a problem with it. From the realms of glory, from the spirits of from the saints of those in the past, I find a man rise up. His name's Adam. Adam said, I had but one law. Not to eat of that tree. He said, I had but one thing that, hey, I mean, everything was perfect. Had a wife and no mother-in-law. I'm just joking. Had a family. Had all the different things, you know, that you need. Had all the provisions of God. Had the protection of God. And would live forever. Y'all know Adam would have lived forever. Amen. He said, the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. And knowing the consequences of his sins, Eve being deceived, that means she was deceived. I mean, she didn't understand what she was doing. She's misled, right? She didn't understand what she was doing. But Adam, not being deceived, wherefore by one man, sin in the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all sin. Who was that? Wherefore by one man, sin entered into the world. Who was that man? Adam. So Adam stands up and said, well, thank God for the mercies of God. Even though I sinned willfully, knowing exactly what I was doing, God was still merciful. Amen. God was still merciful to Adam, even though he sinned willfully. So, man will say, and men say this, that the mercies of God ends when you and I sinned willfully. But all, Adam had mercy. Adam was bestowed mercy upon him, even though he willfully sinned against God, knowing the consequences. And I don't say this, thank God you and I get mercy, even though we willfully sin against God. Y'all can act like you got halos you want to, but I see the horns holding them up, amen? I'm telling you, you and I are not perfect today. All is sin and come short of the glory of God. And you and I know that we fail God. But I'm glad God gives us mercy. God, we can find forgiveness. Thank God for, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful just to forgive us our sins. Do you know the forgiveness of sins is mercy? Yes. Amen. It's the mercies of God. And He forgave us of our sins. Oh, yeah. And now another one is, it's unsearchable. It goes past the will of us. We see man may say his mercy ends when we commit murder. I pastored in Tennessee for 7.5 years. And several people in the church, a couple of people in the church believed if you committed suicide, you weren't going to go to heaven. And the Lord led me to preach a message, really before I realized that there were so many people that didn't believe that, several people didn't, they had that mentality of thinking that. And so I'd actually preached a message. We'd had some people in the community that had committed suicide and different things. And I preached, and I used one point, and I made a point that. And one person came to me afterward, and they said, I think that a person, if they commit murder, they doom their soul. And I said, well, the Bible says this. The Bible says when you and I get saved, we get eternal life. We get everlasting life. Amen. The Bible says we get eternal redemption. And the Bible says there's nothing that man can do to separate us from God. And then we go to the book of Romans, and nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And so anything that I didn't do anything to get saved. What did it say? Not by works, lest any man should boast. I didn't do anything to get saved. And to be honest with you, I can't do anything to get myself unsaved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'm telling you, if either we would kill someone else or even kill someone else, there's the mercies of God that is still faithful in our lives. I'm telling you, this mercy of God is unsearchable. It goes past man's thinking. It goes deeper than man's ability to understand the mercies of God that he bestows upon you, that he's rich in the mercies of God, is rich towards you and I. And we may say his mercy would end when we commit murder, but I've got another old saint of God reels up from the Old Testament. Said, can I testify? My name's Moses. He said, I thought that I could deliver the people of Israel by my own might, by my own power. And I tried to, and I raised up and I killed an Egyptian. And then I fled. I was on the backside of the desert for 40 years, and then I seen a burning bush. And I thought all was gone. I never would be a deliverer. I failed God. But Moses said, that burning bush said, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Amen. He said, I've got a job for you to do. I want you to go down to the children of Israel. I want you to deliver the children of Israel. You mean me? A murderer? Me? I mean one that's failed God? Me, that's just been hanging out on the backside of the desert? Me? Oh, yes. Aren't you glad God's mercies are new every morning? Aren't you glad God's mercies to every generation? Y'all not getting this, but it's okay, that's fine. Hey, His mercy for each and every one. I think about this, man may say, his mercy ends when we deny him. Again, saint of God raises up and said, my name's Peter. You know what I thought in my own flesh? I thought, oh man, all, even though all would forsake you, Lord, I'll go with you. Even unto death. Well, we can make some good statements, can't we, sometime? Amen. Some of y'all fixing to make some just one more day. One more day. Amen. Some of y'all are going to make some statements, and when it comes about February and March, you're going to go, what in the world was I thinking about? Ain't no way I can do that. Right? Come on now. You know it. But Peter rises up and said, even though I denied him, and even though he resurrected from the grave and I seen him alive, I went a-fishing. I tell you what, when we go away from God, you know what we do? We carry others with him.
That's right.
So I took some others away, and we all went fishing. But somebody yelled from the seashore, do you have any fish? And they said, no, we've caught nothing. He said, cast your net on the other side. And they realized it was the Lord's. And the Bible says Peter swam to the shore. When they got there, the Lord don't need our provisions. He sure does want our faithfulness and our obedience, though. Amen. He didn't need the fish. He already had fish on it. They was dragging the net in. He already had the fish. Amen. And he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, thou knowest. He said, feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Lord, thou knowest. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. He denied him three times. He asked him if he loved him three times. And guess what he said? Peter, I'm going to use you. Amen. I'm going to use you. You're going to be used of God. And guess who stood up on Pentecost? Hallelujah. At cussing Baptist preacher. Amen. At cussing preacher. I'm not saying we need to cuss. But he did cuss, did he not? That God-denying preacher. God, some of y'all think y'all be so righteous. If y'all just realize that God's forgave you of your sins, y'all can do something for God. Amen? We ain't continue to live in our sin, God forbid. I know we need to sin a whole lot less. But if we don't watch it, we're going to put everybody down. We don't think nobody can do nothing for God because they've done this and done that. Peter denied God and he cussed against God. And guess what? God raised him up and let him preach and 3,000 got saved. He wasn't a preacher at the sword of the Lord. And I'm not saying nothing against the sword of the Lord. Whatever. Not with that testimony. What I'm trying to say is, I don't know how you say it in sign language, the mercies of God. God is merciful. Amen. To you and I. He's merciful to us. All the mercies of God. Some would say, when you deny Him, then guess what? There's no mercy for you. Well, Peter's got a different story. Amen. Amen. Then there'd be others that would say, they may say when you waste your life and you go too far in sin, you've lived a wicked life, you sin your days away, or there's no hope. I do believe people can sin away their day of grace. I do believe that. I know that. But I see another saint of old raise up their head. So I need to testify. So my name is Boaz. I need to tell you a little story about my mother. I was raised. My mother was a harlot. Rahab, the harlot. I was raised. There's all kinds of people coming inside the house and outside the house day and night and different things. My mother had a bad reputation. But one day some men came from the children of Israel into our little city of Jericho. And my mother put her faith in the King of Israel, the God of Israel, Jehovah. So those men left out. They came back, marched around the walls, and cried out, and the walls came tumbling down. And oh, I was so fearful that our walls was fixed. I heard the walls as the walls started falling flat on this side, and the walls started flat on that side. And I can just see it in my mind, Brother Kevin, as those walls came and they stopped right there where her little house was. There was some of the wall remaining. Amen. Amen. Right there where her house was. Hey, I'm just teaching y'all Sunday school. Amen. And guess what? Boaz actually was born later, came out of that union there between the Israel, was born. And Boaz said, I want to testify about my mother. Maybe been his grandmother. Maybe testify about that one that lived a wicked life, but God changed her heart. Could say about Ruth, we don't know how wicked a life she lived, but we know this, she was raised in a heathen society, knew nothing about God or God's ways, and she came to believe in the God Jehovah. God changed her life. I guess I could say it like this. What about the woman at the well? What about the leper that cried unclean? What about the thief at the cross? These men, these people have lived their lives as sinners. Away from God. Maybe, as some would think, went too far in sin. But I'm glad God's mercy was there. I'm glad God's mercy was there. See, I don't know how far in sin you've went. I don't know how far in sin you will go. But I can tell you this, the mercies of God to be there for you. Now, I'm not preaching sinning this morning. No, I'm not preaching. But I'm preaching this, God saves old sinners. I said, God saves old sinners. Thank God he saves old sinners. Why? Because of the mercies of God. Romans 10:12 said this, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. You know what that is? That's the mercies of God. That God would listen to the call of all of us this morning. Call upon him. I'm telling you, his mercy is unsearchable. Now, I've already gave you this really, but his mercy is untimed. It's timeless. It's timeless. Psalm 106, praise you the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his mercy endureth forever. Forever. This morning we see a merciful God. God in his sovereign, before time ever ticked, before the bird ever flew, before the fish ever swam, looked down through the eons of time and planned a day called Calvary and gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, in the fullness of time, came, was born of a virgin, lived among men, and was the sinless Lamb of God, was nailed to an old rugged cross. On the third day was arose from the grave for your justification and for our righteousness. On the 40th day was descended back to heaven. And the Comforter on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, came. He's still walking up and down the shorelines of this world. Up and down the pews of churches and up and down the byways and highways. And he's still saying, come. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come! He's still convincing people that they're sinners, convicting them. We call it conviction. He's showing them they're sinners, they need to be saved. He's saying, come! Come! See, his mercy is just as real today as it was before time ever came. There's a Spirit of God that's convicting hearts and souls, showing their need of a Savior. And man, I tell you, that's one of the greatest mercies of God that could be. When you realize that you're lost, undone before God. And if you died today, you'd die and go to hell. But thank God there's mercy. Mercy's waving a flag. Daddy tells the story about coming off Sand Mountain one night. It had been raining for several days. The flood, the waters had got up and it washed the bridge out. And there was a man down there with a light waving a flag. And he stopped. He said, sir, the bridge is out. You got to turn around and go around. I'm glad mercy's sitting there waving a flag. You don't have to go to that awful, awful place called hell. You don't have to go to that awful place of the unregenerate. Oh, you don't have to go to that awful place of those that died without God. There's salvation. There's a way to heaven. There's a way you can be saved. The Bible says if you confess your mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm telling you, this world don't have anything to offer you. This world don't have anything but death and sadness and sorrow and pain. That's all you're going to find in this world. Amen? That's all we're going to find. But Jesus offers you life and peace and a glorified body and you can live forever. Oh, will you make a wise choice this morning? Will you make a wise choice this morning? Will you choose Jesus? Will you choose the mercies of God? Max Lucado said this, the difference between mercy and grace. He said, you know that old prodigal son? He said, old prodigal son, mercy gave him a second chance. Amen. But you know what grace did? Grace gave him a feast. You and I have the mercies and grace of God. Let's stand our heads bowed.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much just for the faithfulness that you've shown us this last year. Lord, you've, no matter what we went through, Lord, we stand here this morning because of your faithfulness, because of your care and protection for us. Lord, even in the difficult times this last year, you were faithful. And God, we just thank you for just who you are. Lord, I pray you'd help us starting today, starting next year, tomorrow, to be faithful to you. Lord, starting tonight as we have this service up at White Graves, God, I thank you. You give us an opportunity to come together as a family, as a body, just to worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.